One of the largest alcohol peak bodies in the country is urging the federal government to tighten a key industry subsidy, arguing the incentive is enticing nefarious activity. The Alcohol Excise Remission Scheme was something that was brought in by the Morrison government, and it's about allowing registered brewers and distillers a refund of excise duty up to $350,000. And yesterday that was increased to $400,000. But since the scheme's inception, the number of brewers and distillers has more than tripled. Meanwhile, the National Drug Research Institute earlier this year found 30 out of 100 bottle shops it audited across different areas of Melbourne and regional Victoria were stockpiling illicit alcohol. Now, Stephen Fanner is the Executive Director of the peak body for major spirits manufacturers in Australia, Spirits and Cocktails Australia. He joins me now. Stephen Fanner, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Mel.
Can you talk me through how much the Alcohol Excise Remission Scheme is costing the Australian government right now?
Yeah, good introduction there. The remission scheme was been around for a long time in some form, but in 2021 was increased substantially to $350,000. And as you said, from yesterday, that's been increased to $400,000. It's not actually a rebate, it's a remission scheme. So essentially, it enables local producers to sell roughly the first 12,000 bottles of spirits without paying excise at all. And what we've seen over the years, you know, the handful of years since that scheme was introduced in its current form, is a rapid increase in the number of entities claiming that remission scheme. It was estimated by the government at the time to cost around $100 million a year in terms of foregone excise revenue. At the moment, that's closer to $200 million a year. And it's because it's a scheme that's got some loopholes in it, and those loopholes are being exploited, where what we're seeing now is the rise of an aggregator model, where you've essentially got wholesalers buying up tax-free product from multiple distillers, pooling it all together with a new label, and then selling it on to retailers and venues as a cheap mass market alternative to established brands. That's technically, that's technically illegal under this scheme. It's not within the spirit of the scheme, but the problem is it blurs the line between what is legitimate tax-free alcohol and what might be illicit and potentially dangerous. And it's asking a lot of retailers and venues to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah. Do we have a sense of how extensive this problem is?
Well, we've read the recent media coverage with alarm, just like many others, that the findings of the university researchers that liquor stores in Melbourne at least were storing, offering for sale spirits with contaminants in them. That's alarming to think this could happen in a country like Australia, which has always had really high standards for food and beverage products and a strong regulatory framework. And it's plainly clear that the way spirits are being taxed is creating the conditions for all sorts of opportunistic activity and avoidance.
Can you explain that link for me a little further? How do you draw the link between these tax settings and the sort of exploitation we're seeing in the black market?
Yeah, there's essentially two elements to the way spirits are taxed. The first is a very high rate of excise, which equates to more than $30 on a standard 700ml bottle of gin, whiskey or vodka, and that's much higher than beer or wine. Then you've got the remission scheme, which is effectively a tax-free threshold for small producers who pay no tax on roughly the first 12,000 bottles. That's giving the incentive to find ways to sell, you know, a greater proportion of product in the market that's tax-free. So the rise of this aggregator model, you've now got wholesalers going to retail venues and retail outlets and hospitality venues, being able to offer large sort of industrial quantities of spirits, often vodka, at prices that are below just the excise that are being paid by legitimate producers. And as I said, the problem is it blurs the line between, you know, what's legitimate tax-free alcohol and what might be illicit and potentially dangerous.
You're on Radio National Breakfast, and Steve Fanner, the Executive Director of Spirits and Cocktails Australia, is my guest. Steve, it does seem to be a real issue here with compliance and oversight. Is that how this issue should be tackled in your view? Is it a matter of compliance, or is it that the tax settings need to change?
Yeah, I think there's no magic bullet single solution here, and it's certainly not just a matter of enforcement and policing. Or, you know, this is not an issue that's going to go away with a crackdown or with more sort of focus on compliance. The remission scheme has been a catalyst for growth within the distilling industry. It was a well-intentioned scheme and it's done good things. We want it to remain, but we want it cleaned up. And there are things government could do quickly that would help stem the flow of unintended claims on the remission scheme. And some of those things, fortunately, have been done already when there were similar issues with aggregation in wine around a decade ago. That includes simple measures like ensuring that in order to claim the remission, the entity has both an ATO excise license and an appropriate state-issued alcohol producer license, preventing double dipping of the scheme, better data matching between the Commonwealth and the state regulators, and strengthening enforcement capacity and better monitoring as part of that as well. So it's time for a broader look at the tax settings, including the rate of tax. You know, we've seen with tobacco that when you've got a situation where the biggest component of the sticker price consumers pay is not the materials or the labour, but what goes to the government in tax, you're creating a false price floor and a big incentive for tax avoidance, because if people can do that, then they can make a quick profit. And that's where we've seen in tobacco over the last few years, where illicit products now dominate. We can see the beginnings of that now happening in spirits.
Stephen Fanner on that warning. We'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much for speaking to me on Radio National Breakfast this morning.
Thanks, Mel.
And that's Stephen Fanner, the Executive Director of Spirits and Cocktails Australia. And in a statement, the Australian Tax Office says it is actively examining industry arrangements. It says it's looking at intelligence, data matching and tip-offs as it determines whether any arrangements are inappropriately accessing this remission.